This sermon was recorded at Grace City Church's Sunday morning service. Thanks for engaging with us online, and we pray that this sermon greatly encourages your faith and walk with God.
Well, good evening, everyone, and I'd like to add my welcome to the welcome that I'm sure you received when you arrived. And in case we haven't met before, my name's Miles, and I'm on the leadership team here at Grace City Church. And today is actually our last message in an October series that we've been going through with all the churches within regions beyond around the world. And every church has been preaching on the theme of gospel advance. And it's my privilege this evening to conclude the series here at Grace City. So here at Grace City, we are part of a family of churches called Regions Beyond. We're part of a family that's connected across the nations around the world in friendship and partnership in the gospel, with the purpose of reaching local communities with the gospel of Jesus. So as we conclude this series this evening, I wanted to take a moment to have a look at some of the features and characteristics that we notice in the New Testament family of churches. And because that's the model that we're building to. And there's many, many things that could be said about that. But this evening, I want to have a look at just four things. These four things: leadership heart, leadership partnership, church family participation, and finally, being sent ones. So let's pray, and then we'll get straight into things. Father, I pray that you would help me this evening to be faithful to your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be succinct and clear. And Lord, I pray that you would let your words stir faith and vision and excitement and expectation in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, great. I feel like you're with me. That's fantastic. All right, so first one, leadership heart. I want to start with a quote by Terry Virgo. We've had the slide up there. Okay, great. I want to start with a quote by Terry Virgo from his book, The Spirit-Filled Church. So Jesus revolutionized the thinking of his contemporaries when he taught them to call God Father. And to them, God had been distant and fearful and not intimate and knowable. Jesus assured his followers that their heavenly Father knew their needs and delighted in meeting them. He introduced a family atmosphere to prayer, and the new community that he formed enjoyed intimacy with God and with one another. Following Jesus' example, Paul and the other early apostles laid a foundation of love and friendship in the churches by their style. They were not remote rabbis or distant church growth experts, but Paul came among the churches as a father. And when he left them, they wept. When he wrote to them, he addressed them in the tenderest terms. And here on the screen, I think we've got one example of that from Philippians chapter 4, where Paul writes, "My brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown." So just in this first point, looking at leadership heart, I just want to kind of take apart that sentence just very quickly and consider some of those phrases. So brothers and sisters. So Paul was possibly the greatest Christian leader of all time, but he viewed the people in the churches as brothers and sisters. There was no hierarchy in the church at all. Everybody is equal. We all are brothers and sisters. And we find that when Paul wrote to Timothy, who he was training in how to lead churches, he wrote to them and he encouraged Timothy to exhort older men as if they were his father, and to treat younger men as brothers, and older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. The heart of leadership always has had the language and the heart of family. The next phrase, "you whom I love and long for." Paul loved the churches deeply, and he wanted them to know it. And his love for the churches extended to both an individual personal level and to the big picture of all the churches. And we see it in many of the personal comments that he writes in many of his letters. It's reflective of Jesus' command in John 13. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And I think we as a church family are very strong at showing our love for one another through the way that we care for each other and support one another and pray for one another. I think we should be encouraged, but I think also we should not become complacent. And we must remember that the way that we love one another speaks volumes to those around us outside the church community. The heart of leadership is always motivated by love. My joy and my crown. Paul constantly referred to the day when Jesus would come back again. His desire was to present a church that was mature and pure, present that church to Jesus. They were his crown of rejoicing in that day. And Paul felt this way about all the churches, even the church in Corinth that was so troubled by sin issues and divisiveness, wrong handling of charismatic gifts, and all kinds of other things. But Paul called them his dear children, and the proof of his apostolic calling. We know that none of us is perfect, but God's way is to first of all tell us who we are, his joy, and then help us to live like it. Terry says that God's grace lifts us up and stirs hope in our hearts and inspires us to rise to our calling. And the heart of leadership in the church is to do the same. So this first point, leadership heart, what we see from the New Testament is that leadership always has the language and heart of family, and it's always motivated by love, and it always aims to lift us up, stir hope in our hearts, and inspire us to rise to our calling. Okay, so leadership partnership. If you read through the opening verses of each of Paul's epistles, in the New Testament, he makes it clear not only who he's writing to, but who the letter is from. And on various different occasions, he's writing from, you've got some dot points up here, Paul's writing sometimes from himself, sometimes from him and Timothy, sometimes from him and Silas and Timothy, and on one occasion from him and Sosthenes. In the book of Acts, it describes three of Paul's missionary journeys, during which he's laboring with various different teams. So in Acts 13, we see him setting off on his first journey with Barnabas. But even there in verse 13, we read of Paul and his companions. So there was several of them traveling together. By the time we get to Acts 15, we find the teams changing. And Barnabas goes off with John Mark, and Paul goes off with Silas. Early in Acts 16, we find Timothy joining Paul and Silas. And then in Acts 18, we discover Priscilla, Aquila, and Apollos coming onto the scene. So what's the point of all this? Well, one thing is about the importance of team. The work is too vast to attempt it alone. And there is strength in teams of diverse people being united behind a common goal and purpose. But it's also important to note that the teams in the Bible were very fluid teams, changing during the mission as different ones were sent from and to different places to bring different contributions at different times. While they worked in teams, there was no formal sense of team status or team membership. It was more that they were in partnership together, diverse people, but united behind a common goal of planting and strengthening and caring for the churches. Well, friends, today we're part of a network of gospel relationships that's characterized by genuine love and affection, as we've just been seeing. It's called Regions Beyond. And we're living in the benefit of this right now. Several times over the years, we've benefited from Steve Oliver's ministry to us here. Tom and Tish have recently joined us, joined us from Dubai via London. Macy's with us this year for a year from Montana in USA. And during the year this year, Mike has been actively supporting and strengthening our sister churches in Adelaide and Perth and Burundi and India. And as we go forward, as we approach the end of this year and the beginning of next year, it's going to be increasingly like that. We're going to experience more and more of this crisscrossing of networks, of relationships and friendships, partnership in the gospel with other churches within Regions Beyond. For example, in February next year, we've got Daniel McLeod joining us from Trinity Church London, And we're so looking forward to having him here with us. One of his primary giftings is preaching and teaching the Bible. And while he's here, he will use that gift amongst us to invest time into those of us who preach and teach here. And we'll all feel the benefit of that. But he'll also use his gift amongst us as we go away on church camp in February. And he'll speak to all of us. But while we're away at church camp in February, we may also have people from Perth and Adelaide come and join with us. That would be great if they can make it. Next year, Michael will continue to play a role in Regions Beyond in the global team, partly with the general work of overseeing Regions Beyond, but also with the specific relationships that are there with Adelaide and Perth and Burundi and India. Those friendships will continue. And I know that Mike's keen to create team opportunities as well for several of us to go on trips. No specifics around that yet, but as those opportunities arise, I want to encourage us all to prayerfully consider maybe if God is calling us to contribute to a ministry trip overseas for a week or something. You'll both be a blessing to other churches, and you'll be blessed by as you meet our brothers and sisters in other contexts. So we see it in the New Testament, and we're living it right now. Diverse teams, diverse leadership gifts, partnering together across vast geographies for the sake of planting and caring for local churches and helping them to grow into mature communities of believers who are reaching the world with the gospel of Christ. But for the churches in the New Testament, partnership in the gospel wasn't just for leaders. Everybody was involved. In Philippians chapter 1, the early verses, Paul writes, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Galatians was written from Paul and all the brothers and sisters with me. Across Paul's New Testament letters, he variously sends greetings from other church family members that were laboring alongside of him. And I don't know if you can see that typeface, maybe it's a bit small, but there's lots of names up there, and they're not the sort of names that we recognize today. But if Paul was writing those letters today, he might be writing to the church in Adelaide and saying, "Viv sends you her greetings." He might be saying, "Quentin and Kate send you their greetings," or "Helen and Carey send you their greetings." We're all involved in the work together. And as a church family, we have given generously to support churches internationally. Even this year, we've taken up offerings to support Burundi and the work that's happening over there, restore and rebuild. And it's been great and so exciting to see photos of land purchased and houses built and to see videos of thanks that have come back from the church there. In February this year, we sent funds to support the churches in Turkey and Syria when the earthquake hit. Last month, we sent funds to support the persecuted churches in India, and how exciting to have an update this evening and see the video of thanks that's come back from them. And from our Gift Day offering, we've given into the Regions Beyond Global offering that supports the ongoing work of Regions Beyond to plant churches and train leaders and to reach to get the gospel to unreached people groups. And recently, Mike was giving us an update, wasn't he, that through the work of Regions Beyond, we're touching 17 unreached people groups. One of which is the Tibetan community in DY that we're ministering to through food care here. But partnership in the gospel isn't just about financial giving. It's about local involvement in the mission of the church. And here in Grace City, many of us are involved in many different serving teams, and all of the teams that we're involved in are united behind a common purpose of using our gifts to serve in our area, to help each other grow to maturity so that the church can reach Sydney with the gospel of Jesus, which is part of the bigger picture of reaching the nations with the gospel. It's like a relay race, isn't it? And we've got the baton for Sydney in 2023 going into 2024. I thought it'd be really nice to kind of read out a list of serving teams that we have in the church. And I'd like to invite you Actually, this is a moment for us all participating in this. I want to invite you to stand if you're involved in any of these serving teams. It doesn't have to be that you're leading the team, but if you're involved in any way in serving in these teams, I want to invite you to stand. Don't wait to the end. Just stand up as you hear. Kids work, teens group, youth, young adults, life groups, welcome teams on Sundays, worship team, the AV team, words and projection and sound, the leadership team, ESL, food care, Red Door Cafe, Alpha team, street evangelism, finance team, staff team, and finally, for all of us, just living as salt and light, living as witnesses to Jesus in our daily context where we live. It might also be that you're serving in community groups outside the church, maybe like Surf Life Saving or Acts of Kindness. Let's just look around for a moment and see how many of us are involved in making Grace City what it is. Let's just kind of give everyone a thanks. Fantastic, thank you. What I'm trying to do is help us to understand that in all of these ways that we serve, in everything that we're doing, where we live out our daily context, whatever we're doing, we're playing our part in reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus. Why? Because we're sent ones. Let's just have a look at some of these scriptures. I think they'll come up on the screen behind me. Matthew chapter 8, chapter 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Acts 1, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Mark 13, he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Revelation 7, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Doesn't that excite your heart, just reading the scriptures? There's a few things I want to draw out from these verses. Firstly, the ultimate big picture is that one day we'll all stand before a throne in heaven. We'll stand there together with a multitude that can't be numbered from every tribe and tongue, every language, every people group, throughout all history, those who have been saved. And it will be our joy for all eternity to join together worshiping the Lord. But each of us also has the privilege of being sent now while we're here on the earth. Sent to reach every tribe and tongue with the gospel. And part of how we do that is everything that we just stood up for, everything that we're just involved with locally. Another part of how we do that is in apostolic partnership with our sister churches in regions beyond. The key point that I want to draw out of all this is that the ends of the earth is always a local context. A few weeks ago, Macy would probably have thought of Sydney's northern beaches as the ends of the earth. Probably, you can ask her later. I think for a year or more ago, that was the case for Tom and Tish before they came here. I know that about 17 years ago, for my family, that was the case. Before we left our family and loved ones behind in the UK. You know, many years ago, I did an internship like Macy's doing now. I was 19 at the time, and I applied to join a team in Gatwick, in Crawley, which is where Gatwick is in the UK. It's a town up the road from Brighton, which is where I lived. And I was accepted onto the team, and my church in Brighton laid hands on me to pray for me and send me. We did a year of evangelism, preaching on the streets and knocking door to door, and teaching in schools and serving in the church. And it was a really formative year for me. And it put a vision in my heart for God's plan to reach the world through his church. And Macy, we're trusting that while you're here with us, he's going to put more of his heart for the world in your heart. But as these things do, my year came to an end, and I had to figure out what comes next for me. And I wanted to go home. I wanted to go home to Brighton. But I remember praying over an extended period of time, God, don't just let me go home. Won't you send me? Send me home. I don't just want to simply return home. Friends, Jesus has sent us to the ends of the earth. Wherever we're living, whenever we're on holiday, wherever we're visiting somewhere, we're doing it in the ends of the earth all the time. And we must have a mindset that realizes that we're sent ones, however familiar the place may feel. Ryan's a great example, isn't he? Very soon, he'll be starting an internship year here, right here in Grace City, his home church. He's a great example of someone staying, but being sent to the ends of the earth. He's a young guy who's caught hold of God's heart to reach the world. And we're thankful for him, aren't we? Tom and Tish have been gathering a team once a month to go onto the streets of DY and share the gospel. Many of us have been out, and it's stirred our hearts. It's stirred faith in our hearts. And we're grateful for them for being a provocation, not only to faith, but to action. We must be a people who, wherever we go with that mindset that we're sent to be a witness for Jesus. Why? Because one day, we'll stand before that throne in heaven. And the scene will be like none we've ever witnessed before. And in that place, before the throne, there will be a great multitude from all nations, across all time and history, declaring the glory and the wonder and the majesty and the mercy of God that's been demonstrated to us in Jesus. That we who once were lost have been found. That we who once were condemned by our failures have received mercy. We've received forgiveness through Jesus' death on the cross. And maybe if you're here tonight and you haven't come to that place of faith in Jesus, and maybe you wouldn't describe yourself as a Christian, I just want to add my appeal to you that Jesus died on the cross. All of us are unworthy of his mercy and his forgiveness. We've done nothing to merit it, but he, out of his great mercy, has chosen to love us, went to the cross to take the punishment that we deserve for all the our own failures, that we might receive the righteousness of God in Christ, that we might become acceptable to the Father through the Son. If you want to respond to that this evening and you think that is starting to make sense, maybe you want to talk to someone afterwards, maybe you want to pray about it or talk some more about it, there'll be many of us here at the front who'd be happy to do that with you. Let me end with this wonderful verse from 1 Peter chapter 2. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Do you know the very next verses to these talk about how we live and talk about living as witnesses for Jesus to those around us? And brothers and sisters, I want to appeal to you and say, let's determine in our hearts to live as grateful recipients of God's mercy, to joyfully tell all who will listen of the wonders of his grace. Let's stand together. As a church family, through our involvement in Regions Beyond, we have a growing network of friendships that spans the world. And this network of friendships is not only very biblical, but it's a very practical way for us to play our part and contribute to reaching the ends of the earth with the gospel. And what I've tried to do this evening is help us to see that as Christians, we live our lives day to day in the context of this same goal, reaching the ends of the earth with the gospel. God has a plan to glorify his Son in the ends of the earth, throughout all ages of history, and each one of us has a part to play in that plan. We are actively contributing to that plan when we serve in our serving teams in the church, and when we go to our daily context tomorrow morning. We're part of God's plan to reach Sydney in the early 21st century. So, Father, I pray that you will captivate our hearts with your plan to glorify Jesus in the ends of the earth. Lord, you've already commissioned us and sent us, and many of us have already said yes, yes, Lord. But tonight, Lord, we want to say it again, yes, Lord. I pray that our friendships with other churches will continue to grow. And as they do, Lord, I pray that we will be blessed and that we will be a blessing to others. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to view everything that we do in the context of living to glorify Jesus, whether it's our serving locally, whether it's the way that we live, whatever it is we're doing, I pray, let us glorify you. Lord, I pray that you'd envision us, but I pray that you'd empower us too with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would embolden us to step out of our comfort zones when we need to do that. Lord, we ask you again, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and glory. In the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. To engage with Grace City Church further, please check out our website, gracecitychurch.net, where you can find links to our socials. Or come visit us in person. All are welcome. God bless.